power of our diplomacy. Diplomacy.
Yeah, no, apparently that's a really big deal.
The strength of our diplomacy.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
It does sound kind of fun.
Six, five, four.
But so I want to play this game so bad.
One. Deadline.
Hello, Diplomacy people, and welcome to episode 8 of Diplomacy Cast. Diplomacy Cast is a podcast about the board game Diplomacy. I'm Eric Mead, he's Nathan Barnes. How you doing, Nathan Barnes?
I'm full of sausages and joy.
Aw, I'm happy for you.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Today's episode is all about the stab. The stab.
The stab, the center of the game.
Yep.
Kind of what it's all about.
We're just going to talk about how to do them, how to avoid them, how to spot them.
And what to do when it happens.
First off, we're going to do a little table talk segment with some stabbing vernacular for your enjoyment.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, then we're going to move on to a power play segment, and we're just going to go all stabby on it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot about stabs. I hope you guys are ready.
The art of the stab, we'll call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. As if we know. So there's a little something flawed with our production model here, I think, which is that we often record and then wait a really long time before getting the edited version done and out, which means the time in between releasing an episode and just recording a new episode is really short, and we don't actually have that much time to get your guys' emails in. This is a flaw that
that Eric has identified.
And not quite outsmarted quite yet. So we're working on it, but we don't have much in the way of hot-off-the-press email today.
It is also summer, you know. I mean, people are vacationing.
And maybe they're not holed up in their houses listening to two-hour podcasts while it's sunny outside.
Yeah, they're obviously not in Seattle, where it hasn't been sunny at all.
That's a crazy, crazy thought.
Yeah.
But that is okay, because we have got something else to make up for that empty spot in our podcast.
And our hearts.
And B, a kind of awesome way to maybe sort of incentivize you guys to send us some email.
And you know, right now there's dozens of people just chomping at the bit to see what the hell you're trying, you know, what you're kind of building up to here.
I'm glad.
So why don't you just drop it like it's hot.
I'm going to let it sit for another second here.
Oh.
We're going to have a contest, a listener contest.
Oh, good. So this is well thought out then.
Yo, extremely well thought out.
Yeah, I have a feeling this is going to be right off the cuff.
No, well, hear me out. Here's what we're going to do. We want everybody out there who plays, I mean, probably online diplomacy, because it'll be something where we need them to sort of be in between turns and agonizing over something, right?
I like that you're pausing like I know what you're going to talk about. Yes, I think if it's vaguely anything like the thing we were talking about previously,
then
it would be more ideal.
Keep building that suspense.
It's, you know, it's not like someone's going to call us from from a face-to-face game.
Hello, hey, caller.
And from a closet. You know, here's the thing, guys. I got the situation.
Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Hello. You're on the air.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
It really would. But no, it'll have to be online games, because it'll have to be those kinds of online games that Nathan and I used to play, and I assume people still play, where take a turn every few days kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So the contest is write us emails with your difficult deliberations, okay? So anybody who's just stuck, not sure what to do, feels like they're at a turning point in an online game that they're playing, just write us. Don't send us maps unless you absolutely have to.
Don't.
But just basically, part of the contest here is going to be whoever is the most lucid at describing exactly what their trouble is. But we're also in it for the crazier the situation, the better.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
Yeah, if you can just write us an email and just go, okay, this is the board I'm on, and I could stab my ally for 4 here, but I'm not gonna, and here's why. Do you think I'm making a mistake? Or, you know, or
whatever.
You know, I've got 3 units left. I'm in Marseille and Warsaw and the Baltic Sea, and Russia just offered me Berlin. Do you think I should take it? You know, just whatever.
Something.
Like, stuff like that. Write us your situation. And we're going to pick the one that we like the best. But wait, I'm just getting to the good part here. We're going to pick the one that we like the best, and we're going to read it on the air. And then we're going to let Matt Shields answer the question. Matt doesn't even know this yet. He may not yet know this by the time the episode comes out.
Yeah, we're just going to call him.
We're just going to call him up and probably not even tell him in advance what it's going to be.
No.
So he's just
going to have to do it right off the cuff.
Yeah, we're just going to read him the email. And so the more detail that you can provide for Matt, because we just think that Matt is the guy that
would be vaguely willing to do this.
Okay, that's not what I was going to say, but yes, that doesn't hurt.
I mean, he would roll with it. That's a thing.
Yeah.
He would roll with it.
And he'll have an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Regardless. So there's our contest. Send him in to press@diplomacycast.com. The winner gets, well, nothing except a moment of glory and some free advice from Matt Shields, an excellent longtime diplomacy player.
Yeah. And maybe one day it'll be, well, and you'll be remembered as the first Diplomacy Cast contest winner. I mean,
that's true.
We have a wall that we've cleared for all the plaques and trophies that are going to go up.
That's true. So, maybe Eddie Bresson will have something for you.
Well, yeah, and who knows?
Like, prizes.
I was thinking, and this, I didn't want to tip my hand on this early, but I'm really thinking that one thing we're going to do is, start sponsoring players. You know, a little patch.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to get an in on that. I mean, we got that whole, it's a thing we're working on.
Like a World Series of Poker kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So when you guys are playing on TV, you can give a little shout out to Diplomacy Cast.
Yeah, we'll get you, like I said, a patch or a sash.
Okay, now we're just making stuff up. But the rest of the contest is for real. So
yeah, that's true, that's true.
Send us your awesome, weird, spiky, confusing diplomacy situations, yes, and we'll pick the one we like the best.
All right.
Moving on, table talk.
Let's do it.
Wait, no, just kidding. Not quite yet moving on to table talk.
You really kind of make me look like a jackass when you do that.
I'm the one who said moving on to table talk. I look like the jackass. Well, you do look.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, let's go do it.
This episode we're hoping is going to come out pretty quickly by us standards, but then there is going to be a little gap in coverage due to our editor going on me and our editor each separately going on vacations. So we're trying to get this one to you a little early, and then the other one, it's going to be a little late. So, yeah. I mean, not that we haven't gone 3 weeks before, but this one may be three weeks.
In terms of the contest, though, you know.
Gives you guys more time to consider it, right?
Yeah.
It'll work.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
That's all. On to table talk. For reals. All right, table talk.
You know, you always have to learn it. I think there's part of it you do have to know the vocabulary. I used to think that this segment wasn't going to be a good idea, but
yeah,
today I think it is.
We have a few stab related things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's start at the beginning with the stab. I'm sure everybody knows the stab, short for the backstab, but it's worth sort of laying down some terms, like laying down some boundaries.
Just so, you know, I think we're all aware of what it is, but, you know, we just call it a stab.
Well, let's start with this. I mean, is it a stab every single time you don't do exactly what you said that you were going to do?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not a stab.
Why not?
Because the thing about a stab...
Mm-hmm.
It's a capital S. It's a mm-hmm. thing. It's an event. It's like a, oh, snap, you just got schooled. You know, it's...
Use your words, Nathan.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because you've lied to someone, or you've tricked someone, or you've made their game less good, that's not a stab. It might be...
I agree.
Really, it's like a... It's generally a long-term ally...
There's the casual, oh, yeah, no, I'm not going to the West Med thing that you throw in. But that's not really, when you go to the West Med, that's not really a stab.
No.
It's usually something where you've actually hit an ally. Somebody that you've been working with for a while.
A while, like at least two or three seasons.
Yeah, well.
Bare minimum.
Sure.
Because otherwise it's a, oh, I just worked with you for a season and then I took something. I mean, like, there's no relationship.
Yeah, and jumping someone out of the gates can't really be a stab either. Just even if you say, oh, I'm not going to Armenia or the Black Sea, and then you just go to Armenia or the Black Sea, that's not really a stab.
Yeah, no, you have to have a have had time for somewhat of a relationship to develop, and then you are officially ending that relationship.
Right.
That's really...
With a lot of force, often. Because I'd say the thing about diplomacy is that if you just lie to everybody every turn, you're not going to end up with any allies. Or you're not going to get very far in the game, I guess I should say. If you just lie to everybody every turn, people are going to figure that out really, really fast.
Yeah.
And they're just going to kill you. So from time to time, you need to make alliances. And they need to be long-term alliances. You know, you need to build trust over a series of turns and tell people the truth. In fact, something I've always said about diplomacy, I'm sure we'll dig more into this at a later date, but something I've always said is that the ability to convince people you're telling the truth when you are telling the truth is actually more important in this game than convincing people you're telling the truth when you're lying, because the latter happens less often. You know, 80-90% of the time you need to be telling people the truth.
Yeah, otherwise you're not going to be having anybody to tell to.
Otherwise they'll just tell a little truth to each other and they'll kill you. You know, but that's not what we're focusing on today. We're focusing on that 20% of the time, the 10% of the time where you just flat out lied. And so when we talk about a true stab, I guess, we're really talking about those times where you just empty the chamber into somebody, where you just unload and, like, you've got them set up. You've got them used to you telling you the truth. They trust you. And then you just...
You make a change of plans,
and
you do what you need to do. Maybe you think, usually it's at a moment that you're going for just a dramatic change in alliances. There's the alliance structure on the board. Usually, ideally, is somehow coordinated. You're not just stabbing your ally in a vacuum, and the other alliance on the other side of the board is, continuing to roll along just fine. I mean, usually or you're going for the win, you know. That's usually when it happens. So I kind of like to say a stab with a capital S. Like, it's an event and it's a big deal. Now, sometimes, you know, we've painted this somewhat rosy picture, like rosy in quotes, but sometimes you go to empty the chamber, as you say, and you empty the chamber into, like, your own foot.
Yeah. When stabs go bad.
Yeah. And we usually call that a zero-dot stab.
Well,
we'll start with a one-dot stab. Okay, fine. Because that happens a lot.
Yeah. One dot is one of those sort of terms that gets thrown around, at least in tournament diplomacy. It gets thrown around a lot in a sort of derogatory way.
Right.
To say, oh, this guy one-dotted me. Meaning, he stabbed me, he only got one. And usually, you're saying, man, if you're gonna totally destroy my trust, kill me while you're at it.
There's a good word for it.
Like a poke instead of an actual stab.
Yeah, it's just a little meh. Like, okay, so you went ahead and you wasted this entire relationship and all you got out of it was a single dot. It's really sort of a dismissive, derogatory thing.
And sometimes people will get reputations as like a one-dotter.
Yeah.
Somebody who will just, you can't work with them for very long because as soon as they just see that one that they can have, they'll just take it. And you need to avoid that, generally. I mean,
because it's not worth it.
I guess maybe in a situation where you don't know anybody and you're just playing one game and you just do it and you think, it's rarely worth it. I mean, sometimes I've always thought the one dot thing was a little unfair because sometimes you'll execute a great stab that only gets you one immediately.
Yeah, sure.
But it turns into a four dot stab over time.
We don't need to, like, you know, really kind of slice this down to the molecular level, but there are times when people are taking their entire thought is there's a single dot, I'm just going to take it. Usually referring to people that are you know, they haven't really had a long-term alliance. They're usually just like, okay, we're going to work together for two turns and then there's one thing and I'm just going to take it. Bloop.
Yeah, it's sort of casual stabbing, and that's why people
There's no capital S. It's not dramatic at all. Generally, people can recover from it fairly easily because it's not the full, I'm throwing everything at you. I just have an extra piece. You left this open. I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
It's generally what a one dot.
Exactly.
When we say it derogatorily, that's usually what it is.
And then, of course, there's the even better zero dot, which is usually when you go to stab a guy, but just guess horribly and everything bounces, or he was ready for it.
Yeah, he was ready for it. You know, Bartolone talked about that. Buffalo talked about that last week, where he had that, you know, he thought he had it, and he went for it, and
the guy just bounced
Bounced him out of everything. So, I mean, that happens sometimes.
Oh,
and there's that's terrible.
Yeah, because then you've totally blown a relationship, and you get nothing for it. Heck, I've been known to do a negative one dodge stab or two in my time.
Where you actually lose something because they see it coming.
Their reaction to it in advance is better than my original plan was. It's bad. Or I just do it so badly that it just destroys my own position. And
that's good times.
Usually it's because you don't see something. And you kind of like, you're trying to stab one guy, that fails, and then a guy on the other side is just like, oh, well, I can just grab this off him at the same time.
Or something where you just didn't anticipate them doing something, and you kind of left something open, and they're like, I'm gonna take that.
Yep.
So anyway, those are the two. Those two you hear get thrown around quite a bit.
There's I know we've mentioned it before, but just for the heck of it, let's throw it in real quick. The Golden Blade, they call it sometimes, otherwise known as the best stab. At tournaments, they usually award
a
sort of like crowd favorite stab. And it's usually based on the deadliness of it. Usually someone will just go, oh my God, he just did his ally for five. And just completely, like, they were at 12 each and his former ally was dead in four turns or so, and
that's often how it is. Sometimes it's just because it's one of the awards that tournament directors will generally sort of pull the tournament for, like, what did you see that you really thought, you know, what grabbed your attention. So sometimes it's like it could be something that isn't very deadly, but it just, the game was really intense. You know, it was someone finally cracked, and that was the move. So it could be anything. But
a few tournaments also hand out a Rusty Blade or Worst Stab Award, which that pretty much speaks for itself.
Yeah, it's for those 0-dot stabs.
Yeah, and winning one of those things could be a slightly, pardon the pun, but double-edged sword, because, you know, like, I've never won one.
Me neither.
And so I can always claim, like, hey, I'm not a stabber. I mean, not that anyone listens to that.
Yeah, but when you're really good at, hey, here's how I'm going to seal the deal.
Here's my resume. Yeah, I've never.
I work hard. I show up on time. I'm diligent.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. If that's what you're sealing the deal with, I think you need to work.
No, I mean, I guess maybe it could be intimidating if somebody's won like seven best stabs or something.
Yeah, you know, I suppose.
Like, why do people keep working with him? he does really good stabs. But anyway, all right, I got to get one more in here, and then we're done with table talk, because I invented it myself, and I've been advocating for many years that tournaments, in addition to awarding a trophy to the best backstab, I believe that tournaments should award a trophy to the best, I call it a face stab.
Your face stab.
My face stab thing. I've been fighting for this for years. I might just start a tournament myself just so I can give out a best face stab, because I kind of feel like, I mean, we're talking about it today and we're making it the focus of the show, but honestly, I kind of feel like the backstab's a little bit played out. I mean, oh, I can't believe you did that. You were my ally and you just took a bunch of centers from me. I mean, we've been through it a million times, but the face stab, that's like, Nathan, we've been working together for several years, and on this turn, I'm going to attack you. And then it's better if Nathan goes, like, why? And you're like, because I don't like you. Or.
So what you're proposing is, I'm going to give an award out to the biggest dick.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, like, who's the biggest just jackass here? Yeah. Who can really look somebody in the eye? You know, it's not that it's the best move. And I should do it for my position and for the game, and it's the right time, and I've lined things up. But I'm not going to mention those things. I'm just going to talk about how much I don't like you.
Your breath is bad. I don't like your shirt.
Yeah.
Here they come. And then they come. I mean, isn't that worth an award?
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess, but, I, you know, it's going to be really hard to... I don't know.
Tournament directors out there, just think about it.
I'm really excited for people that, you know, because there are people that go to events and they play for certain awards. There are definitely people that are like, the Davy Jones, or like, I did the worst, or I got the best countries, or whatever.
We know
whatever.
Some people who'd be motivated by the
they're
pay
like,
stab,
okay,
really?
Can I have the most outrageous, horrible, I'm going to say something just nasty to your face award?
And then come attack you.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm off my soapbox. We can move on to power plays.
This does, I hope everyone listening does take note. I mean, this is what goes on in Eric Mead's head. He's like, oh, this is what we need. Congeniality.
I got a lot of ideas about how to make diplomacy tournaments better. I just never have the energy to host one.
All right. Hey, you know what we should talk about? We should talk about stabbing.
Power plays. So, the stab.
Power plays! Sorry, I've been wanting to do that for a while.
Was it all you dreamed it would be?
No, it was a little...
A little better?
It was decent.
Do you need a minute?
I'm good.
Okay. I totally lost my train of thought. It's all right.
Yes!
Yep, you win. Stab.
Perfect.
Ooh, nice transition there.
Yeah, no, see, yeah, that's actually what I want to talk about.
Okay, go ahead. Oh,
Nathan's see, the thing is,
bang.
The thing is... And I want people to understand, and people are already doing this, but I find it fascinating that something that happens not very often, like the big stab with a capital S, doesn't really happen that often.
Sure.
You can go a whole game and not have any of them happen.
Oh, yeah.
Really sort of permeates a lot of the dialogue that happens during diplomacy. It's the dialogue that happens between people, diplomacy players. And it's sort of like a dialogue that you sort of port out into like real life to even non-diplomacy players. Like I will every once in a while find myself talking to people that don't play diplomacy at all. Mm-hmm. Somebody will say some smart ass comment or something, or somebody will just like get in a shot and I'll be like, stab.
Yeah.
The people kind of look at me like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of get it, but it just seems like an odd thing to say, you know? So I find that interesting how pervasive it is.
Yeah, well, we're fixated on it a little bit, I think, because it's sort of one of the more emotional things that happens in the game. For one thing, it's the moment where you've got this alliance, you know, which is no trivial thing, you know. At least playing face to face, an alliance
that's
is
something
like
that
a
you
really
built.
Yeah, it's they're hard to do. When they work, they feel great. You get this sort of camaraderie, esprit de corps, other French things that go along with it. Like you're enjoying, like you both work together, you told each other the truth, and then
you've got that momentum,
and then when somebody turns it around on you, it hurts.
Yeah,
you know, it's you know, people get emotional sometimes and they get frustrated. Yeah. I mean, I think that all of us who have tried to teach the game to other people know that maybe one out of every two people that you ever try and teach to play diplomacy get stabbed the first time,
mm-hmm.
hates the experience and never wants to play again. And I understand that.
Diplomacy players are a special breed.
Yeah, like, and those of us who get stabbed and go, oh, that guy got me, that son of a, you know, and then go, how did I leave myself open to that? How do I get him back? How should I have not gotten stabbed? Should I have stabbed him first? Those are the guys that end up loving the game.
Yeah.
The people who end up loving the game.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's sort of why people...
Well, I think there's just so much emotion attached to it that we keep coming back to it.
Yeah. They don't feel good.
No.
You know, getting stabbed hurts like heck.
Yeah.
And stabbing when you shouldn't have hurts like heck.
Yeah.
That's another thing. It's
and you have to, the stabber has to be able to weather the sort of fallout.
Yeah.
Which sometimes like people
get mad.
They'll get mad. They'll scream and yell and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And in some part,
if they're not screaming and yelling, they're at least throwing all their forces at you and you have to weather that, which especially in a face-to-face environment can be a little bit like, sometimes you don't really have time to think about all of the consequences of what pieces the guy you just stabbed has left over and coming back at you. And you sometimes you don't think all the way through, well, now that he's mad at me, he's going to run over to Bob over there and try and convince Bob to attack me, and I'm not really ready for an attack by Bob. And,
right.
You know, there's a lot of the thing that's so big about them is that they really, you said it before, they really change the course of a game.
Yeah.
They're turning points in games. And you know, games that don't have them, a lot of times you'll sort of get, you know, a pair that win the West and a pair that win the East.
Yeah,
and they grind to, you know, three-way and four-way draws, although sometimes one of those is, you know, those games will grind down to one pair trying to convince the other pair. Hey, stab your guy.
Your
and
guy.
Then sometimes they do and sometimes they don't.
Right.
When they do, changes everything. All of a sudden that can open up solo threats. All of a sudden that can cause reactions of stabbing.
Yeah, and as you get later in the game, and you'll see less and less stabs because the risk calculation tends to be pretty high.
Yeah.
Because you know you've got a sure thing at this point.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like a foursome in across theaters. You know,
sure.
Your EF and your RT is classic. So at that point, it's really difficult.
Yeah, you don't
to give up that sure thing.
You don't want to be the guy that breaks the board.
No,
you know maybe I could stab France, but if I do, then all of a sudden Russia's going to come pouring over my thing, and I might accidentally be giving up a Russian solo here. You know,
right. which is why when you get to that point, and we'll talk about this, probably not. I mean, you have to read your board, but probably not the best time to be doing a stab because it really doesn't. If you're not going to be able to win. Which probably you're not going to be able to win unless the circumstances are extraordinary.
Yeah.
Then it probably makes more sense to stick with your guy
in like a late game situation.
Yeah, we're talking late.
Yeah, there's
we're talking like, you know, everyone's got a lot of pieces. There's only four players left. I mean, and we're going to get we'll start talking about
well,
that.
Well, yeah, let's go there actually.
Yeah, because
I feel like there's and we didn't really sketch this out at all, but I feel like there is sort of early game, mid game and late game stabs and they each have their own sort of flavor to them. I'd say an early game stab is one of those things where, you know, you start out with your neighbor and you're rocking for a while, you know, England and France are just beating on Germany for a while
and I'd
say an early game stab is when they haven't actually finished the job yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, an early game stab would be when England or France get sick of this for some reason before the end of killing Germany and turns around and attacks their ally instead. Probably because Germany convinced them to would be a pretty...
Or Germany seems like they're down for the count anyway, and if you continue on this course, you know that your ally is going to get to a point that they're so big that you turning on them is starting to become impractical.
Yeah, that's true. Or sometimes they'll happen because Germany did too good of a job of defending himself,
and whoops.
England or France is just like, screw this. We're not getting anywhere. This alliance just isn't working. Oh, but look... Belgium's not covered.
Yeah.
There's
also the other side of the board could be mobilizing very, very quickly, and you just don't have time to slog through it with England and Germany, you're France, and you just flip sides because you need something quicker.
Yeah.
Because the other side's moving.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens. So,
yeah.
I agree with you. That's an early game stab.
So, an early game stab, I'd say, I mean, they're not the sort of artistic, devastating, amazing, like game ruining stabs that we've been sort of talking about most often. A lot of times they're ones that you can kind of come back from, you know, that sometimes a couple, three of those will happen in a theater per game, you know, while you're still in the early game, you know, so someone will stab, unstab, restab, unstab.
And
you know, not that we're encouraging that, but sometimes the board just dictates it. Sometimes, you know,
and they're not they're stabs, but they're not stabs.
Yeah.
Which I really think are more of your mid-game stabs.
They're not going to win you the golden blade, but
No,
I agree.
It's the mid-game stabs that are the big stabs.
The mid-game stabs I think of as the ones where, for example, let's go back to our England-France. Let's say they actually manage to stick it out and pretty much finish off Germany. Sure. And then probably the whole time, France has been telling Italy, oh, don't worry, I'm not coming after you. And England has been telling Russia, oh, don't worry, I'm not coming after you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they get to that part where Germany's dead and they've both got to go somewhere. And they're telling each other, England and France, that is, well, I'm going to go after Italy and you're going to go after Russia. We're just going to sort of go our separate ways and move on to the mid-game. That's, I think, the point at which sometimes you'll see the mid-game type stab, where England, instead of doing what he should to continue the alliance, says, okay, we're done with Germany, now it's time for France.
Right.
And those are, a lot of times, those are sort of opportunistic in nature. I'd say those are ones where, well, France fell behind here, you know? I just took the last two German dots. I'm building two. He's not building. He's out of position,
And you've probably been creating that by, that's why you've been telling him, yeah, I'm going to Russia and you're going to Italy. I mean, you're intentionally creating that situation.
Yeah. You should be a lot of times working through the early game to sort of get the other guy out of position. And if he doesn't want to, then he's doing his job. He's making himself a less appealing stab target, and you're sort of more likely to stick with him at that point.
Exactly.
I remember we talked a little with Doug Moore about that, where he was saying, hey, if you don't want me to stab you, just don't make yourself an attractive target.
Yeah,
you
make know? It make and, it hard.
And, yeah, exactly.
And if it's a lot easier and more profitable to go someplace else, they're not going to stab you. But I as you're talking through it, and mm-hmm. I think our listeners can you know sort of visualize this.
Yeah.
There's some flexibility there in the mid game stab, which is where I think most of your stab options happen, because you can that England, if he or she flips down and spends time attacking on France, they have the luxury of doing that because the other side of the board isn't so developed that people are sitting on the stalemate lines.
Right.
So when you start talking about late game stabs, they're not really stabs. Usually, because
late game,
because everything's so developed, you're really just butchering at that point.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You're really just going, okay, it's a stab, but it's more of an execution.
Yeah,
because the only way you do it is if you've so coordinated with the other people on the board, because you want to you're just whittling the draw at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the sort of dramatic, the board wasn't expecting it sort of a thing. There can be situations when that happens, but I think more often than not, when you have those big stabs late in the game, they're more...
Excuse me. Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean...
It's not universally true, but I just think the mid-game ones, that's
the
where...
The late-game stabs are the ones that are almost a thing of myth. I feel like they're almost like they're the thing where you've stuck with France for the entire game from out of the door. You're at 13 each. You guys can't be stopped. You're rolling. You're all the way up. You're both on the other side of the board. And then England stabs France for the win.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we talk about it so much. It's like how we think that every game is supposed to end.
Yeah. Never happens.
It really does. I mean, I remember the times that I've done it. You know, succeed or fail to get a win. And it's a great position to be in when you get to the point where you realize, well, I'm in this draw no matter what.
Yeah.
I can go for it now. If my guy lets me, I can go for it. Whether they work or not. But, I mean, the point is I remember every time that I was in that situation. You know, and I've played a lot of games of diplomacy, which means there's probably three or four times when I've really, truly executed like a primo go for it late game stab on a game long ally. And, you know, late game stabs obviously don't have to be on a game long ally, but they do have to be on somebody you've been working with for a bit.
For a while, and usually, not to rehash it, but usually you're in a position where you don't have that momentum anymore.
Yeah.
Things are starting to lock up.
Yeah, or again, it can just be one of those things where
you guys just roll.
Your opponent screwed up.
And
he's all of a sudden he's disbanding one, and on turn that you're building two. Like if you're, you know, let's say you're England and France, and all his junk is in Italy, and like you know the center of the board, and then all of a sudden he screws up fighting against Turkey or something and loses a couple.
Yeah.
Then and you're like, oh yeah, I took two like I was supposed to this turn. You were supposed to take two also, and it was going to be fine. But, oh, you're losing one instead? Liverpool, Fleet London. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Right. And in those situations, it's less you're more like a mid-game stab because you have that flexibility, you have that momentum. The game is fluid enough.
Yeah, but if you're big enough and you do something like that, you should expect the entire board to drop whatever they were doing.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, that's a really good point. Yeah. You're right. That's a great caveat.
Yeah, this is something that it's really intimidating the first time you're actually in that situation where, like, there's four other guys and they were all chatting with you and having a good time, and now all of a sudden all four of them are on the other side of the room and you're just sitting there at the board. And everybody knows what they have to do, and it's just stop you. I mean, it's
and really, you're really relying on, you know, you work on people, but you're really relying on their tactics not to be perfect.
Yeah.
Because there's really no other way. If there's three or four other guys, they can stop you.
Or, of course, you're relying on something we've talked about a little bit before, which is somebody being indifferent.
Yeah.
You know, or even helping you. You know, somebody who's mad enough that they're willing to just lend you their pieces to
exactly.
try. But anyway, we're drifting.
Yeah, we're drifting. I think what's important to note about that is when you do those late game stabs, then that you're going for the win. Whatever dynamic was happening on the table, if the players that you're playing against care or are any good, you've completely changed what they were doing. All bets are off. Yeah. They're like, okay, well, which is frankly. What the guys who are in the meat grinder are really hoping is going to happen. They're waiting for that stab because that's the only salvation they have.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes it has tons of unintended consequences. Sometimes, like, you stab somebody on your side of the board and all of a sudden Turkey's back in the game.
Yeah.
Turkey was, like, down to two and now all of a sudden he's at five and all kinds of... Yeah, so you kind of have to puzzle it. And I kind of want to get back now to the kind of emotional side of it or the... I mean, when you stab somebody, you kind of got to be ready and steeled for the fact that they're going to react.
Yeah.
And people react differently. You know, some people...
It's easier if you know the person and so you know how they're going to react.
Yeah.
But most of the time, you don't have that luxury.
At very least, they're going to probably prioritize defending against you, even if it means losing to somebody else.
Because, and they're going to talk a lot of crap.
Yeah. Well, some will, some won't. I mean, so some people, like, a lot of their game is in trying to take up your time telling you how stupid that was. You know, and hey, I'm not, you know, I don't want to give away anyone's secrets here, but I know a lot of players out there who will scream and yell and be or if not scream, at least just be really sanctimonious and try and waste your time, whether they're doing it on purpose or whether they're doing it just to make themselves feel better. They're just trying to waste your time. Telling you that it was a terrible move and you never should have stabbed them. You need to be able to shut this out.
Yeah.
At least most of the time. I mean...
Walk away.
If it was a really dirty stab, maybe it's something where you go, hey, look, dude, I know that was... I lied right to your face and I feel kind of bad about it and I'd love to talk to you about it after the game, but right now I got to talk to Turkey, you know? And that sounds kind of cold-blooded, I know.
But sometimes it doesn't come out that way. I've definitely been in situations where it's like, look, that sucked. I thought it was the right thing. Maybe it won't work out. Buy a drink later. Let's have a beer later.
Yeah.
And usually, this is the thing. Almost always, the person you're dealing with is a diplomacy player.
Mm-hmm.
And
they know it's part of the game.
They're actually probably mad. But as soon as the game's over, it's over. As soon as they're out of the game... It's over.
Yep.
So most diplomacy, there are some people that will hold a grudge.
Yep.
There's not many.
Yeah. It is part of the game. Everybody understands that, you know, if they got stabbed, at least part of why they're mad is they're mad at them.
Yeah.
You know, they're mad at themselves because they left themselves open to it. Yeah. I should have seen it coming
and we're going to talk about this in a second. You know, they had this feeling like they should defend, like, oh, that was, you know, inevitably someone's going to say, oh, one more turn, I was going to turn on you. Like, you know, they were, you know, you happened to stab me right before I was going to stab you. So really, everyone feels that. They were already considering it. They had a feeling. So.
Exactly. So, I mean, not everybody is just furious and super emotional when they get stabbed. And people who are sometimes aren't every time because they sort of understand it. I mean,
and sometimes
something that I say to people a lot is if right after I stab them, I say, look at the board. Would you have done it if you were me? And a lot of times people just go, yeah, maybe, you know, because it is part of the game. But it, at very least, even if they're not like vocal or angry, they're going to, I mean, they'll probably at least let you know. They'll at least say a couple of words that are like, all right, I'm just fighting you. I don't want you to get anything out of this. Most of the time, when they've truly been stabbed, their main reaction is typically to tactically rearrange themselves to make sure that you don't get anything out
of it. They're going to pull from their opposite side of the front.
Yeah, were their ally. You were the one that was supposed to be helping them. Now that, I mean, they're not going to keep attacking whoever you guys were attacking together most of the time.
When
they do, the poor guy that's getting attacked is always complains about it. It's always really funny.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
This guy you stab, and you're going to keep attacking me? Oh, boy.
France and England are attacking Germany. All of a sudden, England stabs France, and France keeps attacking Germany. Yeah. The German player is always just like, what is going on here? And it's always really funny when that happens.
And also, one last thing before we transition to the next portion we want to talk about. Remember that simply because someone is making a lot of noise, they're yelling, or they're berating, or they're lecturing you on what you... Sometimes, keep in mind, people are doing that not because they actually have any emotion behind it, or they're really, really that upset, but it's for the other players. Like, there comes a time when you want to be so upset that you're convincing the other side of the board, I'm really serious about the fact that we're turning around right now. Because when that happens, usually, like we just talked about, there's a solo threat, and you need to organize everyone fast. Generally, the person that got stabbed is the band leader of Stop the Solo.
That's an extremely good point, and it's something that's actually worth spending a minute on, because in that thing that I said before about sometimes it's hard to tell people the truth when you're telling them the truth, a lot of times, going back to my same example that I keep using, France and England are attacking Germany. France stabs England. Wait a minute. What am I trying to say here? France stabs England. England has to get to Germany and say, hey, I'm really...
We're together now.
We're together. I'm really not attacking you anymore. And that can take some work. And
it's because there might be bad blood.
Something that, they're right. Remember, you were attacking Germany up until very recently, and Germany might not be as willing as you are. I think that's a mistake I make a lot in games, is as soon as I get stabbed, whoever I was just attacking, I just assume that we're friends, because that's sort of how I am.
Yeah.
You know, I'm totally relieved when two guys that are attacking me, one of them stabs the other. I'm like, sweet, okay, now I can work with the guy that just got stabbed and I'm back in this game. But not everyone's like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people, they need a little extra, you know, you got to pull them in the corner and say, look, I know that I lied too early in the game. I know I've been attacking you, but I really, you know, I want to change sides now. I just got viciously stabbed and I don't, you know, and
sometimes that starts with a really severe reaction to getting stabbed. Like just a vocal, you know, I'm not saying like get in someone's face and scream at them, but I'm saying if you
make it clear,
like make a declaration on the table, you know, this is what I'm doing for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. Anybody that wants to talk to me about anything anti that guy.
Yeah.
My doors are open. Let's chat. Who wants to chat first?
Or one that I find myself doing sometimes is just the guy who stabs me, usually after the orders get read, goes, Eric, do you want to talk? And I just go, no.
Yeah.
that usually takes care of it.
Yeah. We're not talking.
And then wait a minute or two, make sure everybody sees me not talking to that guy. And then the lines of communication sometimes open up.
Yeah. But you want to make it clear that, I mean, if that's what you want, it's entirely possible. And this is for another episode. That it's all manufactured and it's not really a stab at all. You're just trying to shake up the game, and you guys actually, it's all planned and staged. So,
and of course, it's even possible to react a little less emotionally to getting stabbed. I mean, it's even possible. Like, I see situations, and I've been in situations where somebody stabs somebody, and then the very next turn, they're allies again.
Yep.
You know, it was a legitimate stab. He took something off him, but then somehow he just goes, like, the guy that just got stabbed kind of looks at the board and says, well, I don't really have a better offer here. This guy is actually offering me something. And, you know, everybody else on the table's an idiot.
It's totally possible.
I guess I just have to take it. I'm not personally really one of those people. I it seems as I get older, I get madder and madder about getting stabbed. But, or if not madder. But
I think the word,
like,
you're looking for is crotchety. I think
I get sad. And
cry a little. That's, like, that's why you bring that handkerchief now. That's nice.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's, I actually bring a whole box of them. I like that you thought it was just one. That's oh. Me. Yeah.
So let's get down to some, we've talked a lot about what happens and what goes on, but let's talk a little bit about how you can sort of identify the stab. Do you want to start there?
Do you want to talk about identifying when you get stabbed, or do you want to talk about doing the stab first?
Whichever. I'm flexible. Which one do you want to do? Which makes more sense chronologically?
I think
doing the stab.
Doing the stab.
Doing the stab. Right. Let's do the stab then. The converse, the other side.
Okay, so characteristics of a good stab. It should come when the guy least expects it, and by that I mean, you need to pay as much attention to making careful long term plans with your target the very season before you do it as you did all of those seasons prior, because it to me, to an experienced diplomacy player, sticks out like a sore thumb when every turn you guys have been hanging out, huddling up, talking 2 years from now, what are you going to build? What's the, you know, how, what's he saying?
And this then sounds like you're just pointing at, we're going down, like, how do you know you're going to get stabbed?
Well, all right. Maybe
that's
maybe
what you're talking about.
Yeah, I guess they sort of go together. So I don't know why we wrote them separately, but we're just doing them both.
All right.
So if you don't want to be that guy, make sure that once you've decided to stab somebody, You do exactly because it's usually going to come on sort of a critical turn, right? It's usually going to come on the turn where he's absolutely convinced he knows what every single one of your pieces is doing. It hasn't even crossed his mind that there's nothing in Serbia and there's nothing in Budapest, and that, you know,
because you have a bigger project that you guys are doing
because
together.
You have he knows exactly what you're doing. You're locked in. You've got the plan. And that's when the stab comes.
Right.
Right? So, yeah, I guess conversely,
that's really what it looks like when you're doing it right. So that means, to be very explicit, don't take something just because it's open.
Right.
That's a one-dot stab, and it's not going to serve you well. It's going to lose you an ally, and you're not going to get anything from it.
Yeah.
Don't, you know... There's going to be a point in which you're starting to look at the board and your blood pressure is going to go up a little bit because things are getting bigger. You see your ally getting bigger. There's some opportunity to stab, and you're kind of wrestling with, is now the time, is now not the time.
Sure. I mean, in a good alliance, I mean, it's not like it, when you really are in control of your situation and in control of the board, you can have a good ally and you look at it every single turn.
Right.
You know, like you have the time and you have the comfort level to just sit there and kind of glance down and go, okay, what if I did it now? What would happen? But, you don't always have the time. You don't always have the comfort.
But you need to do that risk calculation as often as possible, and you really decide. And this is something that people learn to do, that you need to start looking at if you find yourself, because we're really speaking to those players out there that are starting to find themselves more often than not in situations where, okay, I have the opportunity to stab, because there'll be this period of time that you're playing where you just won't have any opportunity to stab at all. Like you are the stabby over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But even
when you have a good ally, he's always sort of driving you and making sure that you're never in that position. And
as you get better, you start finding yourself in these situations.
Very
you're
true.
Like, okay, so I have the opportunity to do this. I have the opportunity to do this.
Should I do this?
Yeah. And this is really what this episode's about. Like, when do you do that? So start, and this is the key, because you're good enough now to start doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Start looking at what your opponent's pieces are doing. Mm-hmm. And what I mean specifically is the same love and care that you have for all of your pieces, like where your next dot's going to be, what the nuances of each one. Start looking at your allies that way. Yep. Are they going to build this year? If that one gets popped, where is it going to retreat? Et cetera, et cetera. Start looking at that stuff, because that's the level jump you need to make. And it's something that takes people a while to do, because people tend to be so focused on their own pieces. The only way you're going to be able to do a good stab is having that same level of attention on your opponent's pieces and finding that critical moment when, ideally, and we've talked about this over and over again, they're not building and you are, or they're out of alignment, or you've arranged something with another person. Yeah. That's the time.
Yeah, and if there's too many question marks, you probably just can't do it.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, hopefully he's not going to do it to you at the same time, and that's why there's so many question marks.
But, right.
You know, if there's too many question marks, if too much is up in the air, it's a bad time to do it. Pick a predictable time to do it, when you're pretty positive. You know exactly what your target is going to do that turn. It's sort of an adjunct to that, kind of an extra little thing. And this is something that we see from newer players all the time, is that, and I think it was actually all the way back in episode one, Chris Martin said, don't just do whatever the last guy suggested. The last guy to talk to you suggested. In other words, people are going to be trying to talk you into stabbing people all the time.
Oh, yeah, constantly.
And so just because somebody suggests it and goes, oh, yeah, you could take Vienna right now, that'd be better. He's probably saying that because he doesn't want you to keep attacking him. You know, people, this is a big part of diplomacy, is people point out stabs to each other.
Yeah.
You should do this. Don't just do it because someone said it. Do it because you want to do it. You know?
Right. It makes sense in the plan. It's part of a cohesive plan, not, you're not just a crow going after something shiny.
Right.
You know, don't think about what it is that you're doing. And remember that if you're in this solid alliance, which I think for this entire episode, we're just assuming you're in a solid alliance. You're already hitched to a train that's going someplace, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So remember,
is this really better?
Is this actually, am I gaining something out of it? Is this the time that I'm going to, you know, unhitch my buggy because it makes the most sense?
Yeah.
And
sometimes the answer's no.
Sometimes it's like, oh, you know what? It's just a much better idea to stick with what I got here because I can't see where I'm going to come out a lot better, because I think a lot of people are in this situation, because what we're getting to now is that point where there's what's the word I'm looking for? You're just sort of like stabbing anxiety. You're like, you're kind of frozen. You're like, should I or should I not? Ooh, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And a lot of people find themselves in these places, and hopefully if you're listening to this, you're going to be able to sort of put together like a little chart in your head, and I keep saying risk analysis, but okay, X, Y, Z, here's what I need.
Yeah.
And that's
the guy definitely doesn't know what's coming. I definitely know where he's going to be. I've thought a little bit about the consequences of what's going to happen next turn if I do this.
I have a handle on the other side of the board.
Another good thing to have, although this one you have to sort of tread carefully, another good thing to have is some confidence that you'll be trading your ally for another ally.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, even if it's the guy that you and your ally were just attacking, do you think he's going to respond favorably? Mm-hmm. They don't always.
No.
You know, do you think this guy is going to go, oh, thank God you stabbed, now let's work together, and then you have a new ally? Or do you think he's just going to go, no, screw you anyway, and work with the other guy?
Creates that situation of that stop the leader sort of syndrome, and you want to do your best to make sure that sort of coalition doesn't come together.
Yeah.
You're doing this sort of stab.
Yeah, definitely. Are you going to freak the board out? That's another thing. Are you going to get too big too fast after that stab, and all of a sudden you got no friends?
Right. And there's still such a stable alliance structure on the board after that that you're just going to get, you know, stuffed.
It can be really nice and really key if you have a guy who kind of knows it's coming. Like, sometimes someone will be trying to convince you to stab, and finally he'll just make you an offer that's too darn good.
Yeah.
And you got to take it. He'll go, look, I'll support you into Vienna and Budapest right now. And then you kind of just go, really? And you look at the board and you go, wow, that's pretty good. Okay, but what I try and do is lock that guy in about 30 seconds before the deadline, so he doesn't have time to go tattle. Because sometimes they will.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll just go, you know, and sometimes they won't write it. Obviously, it makes it riskier when you have to count on somebody else to make your stab work.
But, you know, you want to hold out, because sooner or later, if in the scenario you're talking about, long-term alliances, people trying to break up the alliance, if you hold out long enough, you can get a pretty sweet deal. Because they're so desperate.
Oh, yeah.
To sort of break that alliance that you're going to get.
Oh, heck yeah. And people will write it. I've been the guy that's been trying to break up an alliance and has, you know, offered somebody the absolute world in order to just do a stab that I want to see him do, just so that he'll stop attacking me. And a lot of times they will, yeah. I guess that's the key thing there, is if you have help. You don't have to have help.
Yeah, you don't have to
have help. But if you have help, make sure that you take a minute and go, okay, would this guy really do this, or is he just throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks?
Right. You know, it helps if they've done it a couple of turns, like they've thrown that support the turn before and you ignored it. That's helpful. Because that'll happen.
Yeah, but really, just stop. Put yourself in the third guy's shoes and go, is this the offer that I'm making if I'm him? And a lot of times you smell a rat there. A lot of times you'll just go, well, no, hold on. Silly. That's not good for him.
And even if they do it, my ally, I know it's all going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
So just to kind of like, you know, box this portion up about a good stab. I mean, the rules of thumb are, one, trade up. Don't trade crap for the unknown risk for this probably pretty good thing you have going on.
Right.
Two, make sure you've spent some time positioning the board. That is your ally, the other side, in such a way where you're very confident that this is going to work out.
Yep.
And you're not just throwing stuff to be throwing stuff. I think those are my two that I sort of think about.
Yeah.
The only last thing is, when you're looking at the board, consider whether or not you're creating a stop the leader coalition, and if you are, can you overcome it?
Yeah.
Those are the three.
Especially, obviously, in late game situations where you may actually be stabbing for the win. And again, this is a little, almost a pet peeve of mine. If you're at 12 and you're about to stab your ally who's at 9 or something like that, you should probably do it. Even if you're not going to win, you should try. Because there's rarely a downside. This is something that I see people do at tournaments, and it kind of irritates me, is they don't go for it when they should. Because they fear the chaos. Their alliance has been going well. They've been playing the whole game with it.
They want the goodwill.
They want the goodwill. But, and actually that, I mean, if that was your reason, I can understand. If you do, because I've done that enough times where I don't want to stab a guy just because I don't want to stab a guy.
I mean, you're just, you might have to play that guy before long, and it makes sense not to do it.
Or I was legitimately enjoying the alliance and that, whatever.
But I take your point.
But my point is, people will sometimes not stab just because they're afraid of the chaos that it will create. And whereas if you stop and think about it rationally for a minute, okay, yeah, you're right. It's going to change everything. You might win. You might not win. But if you don't win, you're still going to be big.
Yeah.
It's not like they're absolutely going to wipe you off the board as punishment for trying to win.
Every once in a while. But I mean, it's statistically small enough that you shouldn't really consider it.
Yeah, people's risk management is all screwed up when they get to 12 dots and they're looking at a nice fat three-way draw with a bunch of dots. They just like,
oh, I don't want to lose it.
They don't want to.
Yeah. I work so hard for it.
Right, exactly. They don't want to risk a four-way draw. But anyway,
I just want to make sure that we're giving people things. We're actually giving them advice that they can use. So we've told you what you need to be thinking about when you're
going
to stab.
Right.
So now, how do you identify when you're going to be stabbed? Now we're switching sides.
Yeah.
What should you look for? You already alluded to a key one, and that applies online. And that applies face-to-face.
Yep.
When you start changing your behavior, your ally starts changing their behavior, I think we're going to flip it around.
Yeah.
The ally now is the stabber.
Yeah, yeah. If you suspect you're going to get stabbed. Yeah.
Yeah.
When your ally, all of a sudden, he's planning with you, but his heart's not in it like it was.
Yeah.
That's a sure one. That's one of those ones. Obviously, sometimes you'll pick it up through rumors from other people. But
word of caution there.
Yeah. They'll lie.
They're not only will they lie, that's a given,
They'll lie like dogs.
They'll lie like dogs. But also sometimes they're absolutely telling the truth. And that your ally did go to them and say, talk to them about stabbing you. And sometimes that's okay. Because you have to have that conversation with that individual.
Sure.
Sometimes your ally is going to talk about stabbing you, and they're completely insincere about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they're just trying to have blow smoke in the other guy. Yeah. Yeah.
So just keep in mind, I only say that because there are so many newer players or players that don't really understand that nuance. Like, you're going to be constantly sort of shilling a story to a lot of people. And just because your ally said something like that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
There will be much more obvious signs than just some schmo telling you. Like, when three people come to tell you, when this is, you know, your stabber, someone that wants to make a concerted effort to make sure they do really well, then...
I just sort of, it's not exactly in line with what we were just talking about, but it's just sort of an adage that I feel like applies to a lot of what we're saying. Sure. If everybody on the board wants two allies to stab each other, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, that's also a good maxim. Like,
yeah, exactly. This is something it occurred to me fairly recently playing Diplomacy, and it was kind of like a lightning bolt, and I was like, why didn't I think of that before? Everybody on this board is trying to talk me into stabbing Nathan. I'm not going to stab Nathan, because the only reason that everybody would be united about that is because our alliance is doing well.
Really well.
And they're afraid of us. You know? that's the only real incentive that people would have.
Right.
Most of the time, when I find I'm in that situation, I just don't stab. You know?
Right.
And so, anyway.
No, that's perfect. That's exactly the kind of thing I want to leave people with. Like, if everyone's so adamant that you should stab each other, start asking why.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, yeah.
So, it does sort of drive home the important don't stab just because people are pointing out stabs to
and
you.
And don't stab unless you have that stabs plan.
Constantly. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
And I think, so, the first one, obviously, look for a change of behavior and your ally.
And when you're playing face-to-face, again, that can even be eye contact.
Right.
That can just be, hey, he's just looking at his conference map now. He used to look at me all the time. What happened to us? Where's our relationship gone?
Where'd it go?
He doesn't look me in the eye.
You can look, and that's press and online play. Your email correspondence changes.
Mm-hmm.
Start looking at their last moves. If their last moves were all, there's always patterns. Like, mm-hmm. people will suddenly, instead of moving all those pieces up to the line, they built two, right? Instead of just, like, pushing them as hard as they could to the line, they're sort of lingering in the back a little bit.
Look for a build you guys didn't talk about similarly. Right. Yeah, a lot of stabs just start with, why on earth did he build Fleet Marseille?
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense at all. So, start... You know, this is the same thing that you're doing, because obviously you are looking to stab your ally. So you're doing the same thing. Like, look at his pieces. Why did she put her pieces that way?
Yep. The other thing is, when you're starting to get suspicious, ask him a few extra questions.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like, don't interrogate him. Don't grill him.
And don't accuse him either.
Don't accuse him, but just go, so what are you doing in the Mid-Atlantic? What's the plan with that one? And see if they fumble.
Yeah.
You know, they won't always have the pat answer. They'll just go, I'll just sneak this thing into the Mid-Atlantic and he won't notice. And then when you just ask him about it straight on, sometimes they go, before they come up with a lie, you know, they don't always have one prepped for that kind of thing. That's a way to spot it.
That's a way to spot it. And I think there was one more that I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Because I got started on something else that I want to talk about, like what you just said. And I was going to talk about reactions to stabs, but there's one more thing that you can do. Mm-hmm. You look for patterns, mm-hmm. look at their position, and then look for what you would do in that exact same situation.
Yes.
I mean, I know that's very, it sounds, I think, in one way, very similar to look at their position, but
I think it's
different enough. Like, would you stab right now?
I think it's one of the top three skills of a good diplomacy player, honestly, if not number one outright, is just the ability to take a moment, think about what you'd be thinking about if you were them at that particular moment. And a lot of times the stab just pops right off the page at you, doesn't it?
Whoa, you know? I didn't even see that.
Yep. Yeah. But there is one problem with this that we're sort of dancing around. These are all signs you might get stabbed.
But right.
The problem is, it sucks to guess wrong.
Oh, it really sucks to guess wrong.
It really sucks to
lose that momentum.
Yeah, to go, oh my god, I'm going to get stabbed, and you totally weren't going to get stabbed. It just you pull all your pieces off, like your ally is just like, what happened?
You know,
like which is why
we do exactly what you suggested. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk to your partner
mm-hmm.
and do little tricks like this.
Oh, okay. Suddenly sound like the love line here.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to your partner.
talk to your ally.
Yeah.
And let's take your example. What's that doing in the Mid-Atlantic?
Yeah.
And they fumble an answer. You say something along the lines of, you know what? It's not a big deal. I have an extra unit. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to park it in the Irish. I'm going to drop this one back to the English Channel. Not a big deal. Or ask for a bounce. Let's bounce in the English Channel. Let's bounce in the Black Sea. Let's bounce in Bohemia, wherever. We'll have a safety bounce.
Yeah.
This is the first step of blunting any sort of stabs. One, it gives you the opportunity to make sure you don't, you know, overreact and pull everything back, lose that momentum. But at the same time, you really are making, like we said at the very beginning, you're really making yourself more unattractive to be stabbed.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm just going to put this here. It's just for safety. I think actually that happens even more online than it does face-to-face because face-to-face you don't always have time to think about it.
Yeah.
About how to like really engineer a really stable situation.
Well, and you have online, less time to really work up the paranoia.
Yeah.
Than face-to-face. Yeah. Which can really happen online. I remember being online going, oh, he's starting out doing great, and like 4 days later, oh, he's going to stab me. He's totally going to stab me.
Totally true. Yeah. But I feel like I see a lot more sort of like security bounces and kind of above board. Like, I would like to make sure that you do not stab me, and so I'm going to move to the English Channel every turn. You should probably bounce that with your fleet in London every turn.
Yeah.
And then, sort of things like that. And I think the other part of it is without facial expressions available.
Right.
You kind of have to just assume that the other guy is after you all the time, and unless his press is incredibly persuasive, you kind of have to just err on the side of conservatism in an online game, because you can't just look in the guy's eyes and go, he's not coming for me. I'm not covering the English Channel. You know,
he's good.
Yeah, exactly.
What else can you do? So you recognize or you feel like that stat's coming. Safety bounces are a great way to blunt those.
Yeah.
So is really just, if you think it's coming, your gut says it's coming, cover it.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks to be wrong, but it's really a sweet feeling when you blunt a stab. It feels so good.
Oh, yeah.
It is really one of the best feelings in diplomacy.
Especially if it's just like was about to be the truly epic stab and you bounce all three.
And you just blunt it and just like chunk.
Yep.
And what that person, they wrote those orders with shaking hands off in a corner, and they were so ready for it. They had those butterflies in the stomach. They were so excited when they read the orders, and then they read yours, and everything he did went thum, 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 thum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like the whole room deflates, and it's an awesome feeling.
I'm not going to do it right now because we're running short on time, but if we ever have a gap on the show and nothing to talk about for a little while, we should do our own biggest mistakes ever stories.
Oh, yeah.
Because my biggest mistake ever is when I covered against a stab that wasn't coming.
Oh yeah.
And we remember it as the 10-7-2 game.
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, I'll tell the whole story sometime. But
yeah.
I mean there's different degrees of what you're covering, you know. So like if it's gonna take you every single piece, it's a much bigger deal to cover against a suspected stab instead of, you know, if you've got a piece or two to spare that can defend just in case you're wrong about your ally, then you know, think about the consequences, obviously.
Sure.
You're always losing some momentum if you're covering against a stab that's never going to come. But if it only takes you a fraction of your force to do so, then that's not so bad.
Sure.
You know? Yeah.
So hopefully that was helpful. Those are something. Do you have any more? Because then I want to talk about, let's say you don't do it right. You don't cover very well. And I want to talk about, like, how do you recover from getting
stabbed? Yeah, I think that's a good sort of last topic.
Yeah.
Dealing with it. And not just, you know, not so much emotionally, because I feel like maybe maybe it's worth saying a thing or two about, like, it hurts to get stabbed, but you kind of need to collect yourself and you kind of need to go, okay, what am I doing now? I mean, that...
Well, and I think this is the same thing we've said before. Don't shut down.
Don't shut down.
And don't storm off either. There's nothing worse. I mean, seriously. Don't quit your game because you got stabbed.
Don't
stomp off. Do not say, I'm never going to play another game of diplomacy again. This is the game. Even if you never want to play another game of diplomacy again, finish the game.
Yeah.
Because
you'll want to play again.
Because you'll probably want to play
this
again.
Listening to this podcast, you are sort of degenerate.
But just don't just shut down and use the club of well, I'm going to take all my toys and go home.
Yeah.
Because it's
bad. It's bad for your game, and it's bad for everybody else's fun.
Yeah.
It's bad for both. I'll emphasize the it's bad for your game part. If your solution is to just clam up, get quiet, go in a corner, and write defensive orders until you die, you're going to die.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, this is what we talked about before.
I cannot count the number of times I've gotten stabbed and come back.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, that's a kick in the butt to me. That's a motivator right there. If it's like a totally perfect stab and I'm just literally...
Piling on. Yeah, then there's nothing you do.
There's nothing you can do. You just lose and you go away. And maybe at that point, you do just throw your dots. You know, there's nothing wrong with throwing your dots to punish somebody.
Yeah.
You fight... You're like, come on, help me get back at him. And they're like, no, we kind of want to kill you too. And, you just sort of run into everybody kind of just wants to kill you.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to kill you. But one thing that you can do in that spot is go, okay, fine, then I just don't want the guy that stabbed me to get any of it.
Yeah.
I've broken games just because I've been upset about it. And that's fun for me. I mean, it's not as fun as actually doing well, but like, given that I got stabbed, at least I screwed up the board.
Yeah.
At least I ruined the game. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, for me, and I think for a lot of players, like, there's two ways you can go here. You can shut down, which we're not mm-hmm. recommending to you, or you can really just imagine, it's like, okay, I've been challenged. A gauntlet has been thrown down in front of me. Bring it. Yep. And, you know, you're just gonna do absolutely everything you can to either come back or punish the person that did it to you.
And a lot of times those go hand in hand.
And sometimes it can work out really, really well because, frankly, there are situations in which the alliance that you were up against, you know, maybe it was an alliance out of necessity, and those people mm-hmm. actually didn't really like each other, and one of the guys would really rather be working with you, and, you know, whole games can change. So don't, just because you've got a temporary setback, don't shut down. See it as an opportunity. Just, okay.
Save your riskiest and most aggressive play for the times that you've just gotten stabbed. Take that and just go, okay, now I got nothing to lose at this point.
Right.
Obviously, the guy got me. He got me good. I could just sit here, defend myself, and try and die slower. Or what do I have to lose by just absolutely spilling my heart all over the floor to everybody else to say, come on, let's go get this guy. Let's get him back. And then sometimes you just wind up back in a game again. You know, look, I don't care about me. I'll just live on at 3, but just work with me. You'd be amazed how often it works.
I know. There's a lot of time people that do
conversely, if you're guy number 3 and your neighbor just got stabbed and he's coming to you saying, come on, work with me, let's go get this guy, this is a huge opportunity that I don't feel like people take enough. They just don't believe you.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
They're like, oh, well, they've sort of already counted you out in their heads a lot of times.
Be flexible.
That's just a
general rule. Like, this is a Machiavellian game. Like, you gotta change on a dime. And I do totally agree with you. Like we said earlier, usually the guy who gets stabbed is like the standard bearer. He's like, I am going to get this guy, and that person is generally pretty motivated.
Definitely, I get probably more motivated now when I get stabbed than any other time when I'm playing. I mean, actually, the only other thing I would say is just like rolling with a really good alliance. That's motivating, you know, just an alliance that's just.
The stab's together, a little bit more motivating for me at this point, simply because like, if I can line, I mean, I'm always trying to line up a good alliance, and you know, I know I can do it, mm-hmm. and I know, like, once if it gets rolling early enough and dominantly enough, it's a little sort of like, you're just moving the pieces.
Yeah.
You get stabbed, suddenly you're sweating, and you are challenged, and it's really invigorating.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I agree. But the most important thing is don't stop talking.
It's not even an option.
You can, if you want, stop talking to the guy that just stabbed you, but I think there's a lot of people that would counsel against that.
Maybe one turn.
I think a lot of people, I don't know, our own prejudices are probably showing through here a little bit. I think there's a lot of people who would say, okay, right then, the guy just stabbed you. He's a guy you should be talking to. Don't give up on that guy either. I have a hard time doing that sometimes in a face-to-face. I mean, it depends on the circumstances. Sometimes I will. I don't like to give off the reputation of a person that you can just stab and then he'll be your ally again next turn.
Yeah.
I don't like to be that guy just because I don't I don't think it's good for your reputation long term, you know what I mean? But there's an argument to be made. You know, you can't shut him out for the rest of the game every single time he gets stabbed, or you'll have real problems in the game. Like, you can't just declare jihad on everybody who's ever done you wrong on a board, or you'll eventually have jihad against everybody. You do have to be flexible. You do have to go, okay, now what are we going to do here?
That does remind me, there is one thing that I think we do need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Janissary.
Oh, yeah.
Because we probably should have put that in table talk, but when
it's already been in table talk.
Oh, good.
Uh-huh.
Good. Okay. So
you
review
you
whatever.
Never listen to these, do you?
Actually, yes, I do. Okay. But that was awesome. A really long time ago.
Yeah.
So don't forget that it is an option.
Yeah.
To you know what? Sometimes it just makes sense on the board after you fought, and the guy was like, "Nope, I stabbed you really good," and you're down to one. Don't stop, Janissary. Like, you go, okay, I got one left. All right. Because you can maybe come back from it.
Yeah, I usually want to. I mean, there's so many reasons for doing it. Like, only one of which is just revenge. You know, like, make the argument and really look at the board. Like, if you want a Janissary to somebody, no matter who it is, whether it's the guy that stabbed you or some third party, look at the board and go, who could I be really useful to if I totally don't care about my own centers?
Uh-huh.
You know, if like a lot of times, you know, like Italy, for example, like let's say he's been just smashed up pretty good by an Austria-Turkey alliance or something, but he's still got a couple of pieces left and they happen to be in Tunis in the Tyrrhenian Sea or something. Well, if that Austrian-Turkish alliance wants to keep going in the Med, who's closest to the Med? Yeah. A lot of times you can just go, hey, guys, can I keep going here?
Yeah.
You know, just don't take my Naples and my Tunis. Just leave them alone so that I have two dots to support these two pieces.
And sometimes, you know, you'll get players that are just like, no, I'm going to get rid of you. But you'll often get players that see the value in that. And, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't really matter. Like, they'll take those dots behind you as you take dots in front. And they'll help you into Spain or Marseille. And they'll just keep doing that for a while until you're just no longer useful. As long as you're useful.
One thing, and this is rare. Yeah, you're exactly right. But one thing, and this is rare. Every once in a while, like, their alliance, because of you, can start doing a little too good.
Yep.
And you know, like, let's say you've been janissarying for that Austrian-Turkish alliance that smashed you. And you've got, you know, maybe three now or something. But they've got 14 and 12 or so. You know, like, they're doing a little too good and the solo's getting a little too close. At this point, you can become Mr. Crazy Mischief Man that maybe possibly causes a solo, but maybe possibly freaks everybody out so much that they have to leave you in the draw.
Yeah.
Like, they can't do anything about you. It's a rare, sweet, glorious. I mean, what great revenge is that?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm sorry.
The alliance that killed you, you just play their lapdog for about 4 years, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh crap, we need him now.
Yep. It's a really good feeling. It's really nice. Yeah. It's like, and I win. And it's a small victory, but it's my
victory.
I would
like some of your points in this tournament.
Yes.
Thank you so very much.
Enjoy
your four-way.
Four-way with my three stupid dots in it.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's sort of the thing, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, that's stabbing. With more stabbing.
We should have known this would happen.
What, that we would
I was like, can we really fill in a whole episode talking about stabbing? Yeah, now it's one of our longest. Yeah.
Yes,
once we get into the abstract, fun, you know, non-like opening moves type stuff, we're gonna...
Help
us.
This shouldn't be the norm. Well, we won't go off on this forever. But I mean, we are tackling a huge topic.
Yes, we will. Don't tell Nathan.
We
hope you enjoyed Power Plays. At this point, thanks for listening to episode 8 of Diplomacy Cast. For Nathan Barnes, I'm Eric Mead,
and for Eric Mead, I'm a small, small watermelon filled with vodka.
Goodbye.